Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends in the public media spectrum across the region bringing you the stories of the day. I'm Carl Lengel, your host. It is the 7th of May, 2026. Local voters turned down by a large margin the Billings School District requests for additional funding for the elementary and high schools in the city. Both the elementary and high school levies were voted down by 61% of the voters in Tuesday's election, according to unofficial results from Yellowstone County Election Office. The school district's mill levy requests were to cover operational costs for both the city's elementary and high schools. Yellowstone County's election office reports voter turnout at just under 38%. Voters in western and central Montana, in all but a handful of communities, soundly defeated their public schools' requests to help pay for big expenses. Montana Public Radio's Austin Amestoy rounds up Tuesday's levy election results.
Western Montana's urban schools fared much better than their rural counterparts in school levy elections. Voters in Missoula, Butte, and Bozeman passed most funding requests on the ballot. The tax revenue will help pay for teacher salaries, technology needs, and safety upgrades. Many small schools in rural areas will be forced to tighten their belts after voters rejected levies, but so will Helena Public Schools, one of the state's largest districts. It's been grappling with a budgetary imbalance for years, driven by declining enrollment and rising expenses like insurance, tech, and inflation.
We have a system of school funding that's broken.
Superintendent Rex Welts said the state's rules for public school funding constantly force districts and their taxpayers to choose between critical facility upgrades or funding teacher salaries, maintaining technology, or improving safety. Helena voters last year passed a gargantuan school bond that will pay for new schools, but Welts says none of that money can go toward the school's operating budget. Now, he says difficult cuts are on the way.
This cyclic pattern that you described is hard on our community, it's hard on our students, but it's extremely hard on our district staff.
Kalispell voters also defeated all school levies. It's part of a multi-year losing streak for many districts at the ballot box. In Missoula, I'm Austin Amestoy.
CNN founder and longtime Montana landowner Ted Turner has died at age 87. According to the Associated Press, Turner passed away Wednesday after struggling with Lewy body dementia for years. The media mogul became known for a slew of TV firsts, like introducing the 24-hour news cycle. He was also among the largest landowners in the country and in Montana. Turner owned the over 110,000-acre Flying D Ranch, located in southwestern Montana. He advocated for reviving the West's bison herds and also started a restaurant chain serving bison burgers, Ted's Montana Grill. A county attorney in south-central Montana is going to the Supreme Court over privacy laws and federal immigration enforcement. Gallatin County Attorney Audrey Cromwell filed a petition Friday, a day after Attorney General Austin Knutson announced supervisory control of her office. The disagreement goes back to immigration enforcement at the county level. Knutson is calling for counties to follow state law by cooperating with federal immigration agencies in all requests for information. Cromwell's office denied a request from ICE in October. She cites privacy laws for refusing. Cromwell is asking the Supreme Court to determine whether counties can give confidential information to federal immigration enforcement for non-criminal or administrative purposes without first getting a court order. She's also asking the court to dismiss Knutson's supervisory control of her office. A Supreme Court justice Tuesday issued an order giving the Attorney General until the end of next Thursday to respond. Yellowstone Public Radio reached out to both attorneys. In an email, the spokesperson with Attorney General Austin Knutson says, quote, "We're not going to discuss our legal strategy in the media. You'll find out when we file our response." Cromwell's legal representative says in an email that Cromwell looks forward to the Attorney General's response and the court's decision. Federal officials say more than 4 million Americans have lost food assistance through the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, over the past year. That's prompting pleas for Wyoming residents to help if they can. Eric Galatas is with Wyoming News Service. He has more.
The U.S. Agriculture Secretary told Fox Business last week the reduction in benefits is due to a fraud crackdown. As food banks face new strains on their services, they're asking neighbors to step in. Mark Weslar with the Food Bank of the Rockies says there's been a big spike in demand. He notes 1 in 6 Wyomingites and 1 in 5 children don't know where their next meal will come from.
People from all walks of life are struggling to make ends meet, especially with gas being what it is. Food, clothes, everything seems astronomically expensive now, and folks are having to make hard choices.
According to the government's own data, fraud accounts for just 1% of the SNAP program. The vast majority of people lost SNAP benefits after the passage of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, which created additional work requirements and other restrictions. The Republican signature tax and spending law aims to cut SNAP funding by 20% or $186 billion over the next decade. I'm Eric Galatas.
A state senator has relaunched his bid for Congress amid allegations of sexual abuse and harassment. Senator Jonathan Windyboy, a Democrat from Box Elder, is accused of sending sexually explicit messages to minors and colleagues. Both Democratic and Republican leaders have called for his resignation from office. Windyboy suspended his campaign last month after the allegations came to light. He cited poor health. He says the accusations are slanderous and politically motivated. He's running for Montana's Eastern Congressional District. The search continues in Glacier National Park for a Florida man who's been missing since Sunday evening. Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien reports.
33-year-old Anthony Paulio of Fort Lauderdale planned to hike to the Mount Brown Fire Lookout on the park's west side. Paulio's last known message was sent Sunday night. The park was notified of his disappearance Monday afternoon. The Sperry Trail is closed as search efforts continue. Paulio is described as a nearly 6-foot-tall white man with short brown hair and brown eyes, weighing about 180 pounds. He may be wearing jeans, boots, a black backpack, and a blue or gray jacket. Reporting from Missoula, I'm Edward O'Brien.
Over 6 square miles of an aquifer under Montana's Rocky Mountain Front has been removed from federal protections and slated for wastewater. As Montana Public Radio's Ellis Julin reports, the change comes despite overwhelming opposition from the local community.
The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency exempted parts of the Madison Aquifer from the Clean Water Act late last week. The agency also approved permits to allow the injection of thousands of gallons of wastewater below ground through old oil and gas wells near the town of Valier and Lake Francis. The EPA's decision came as a surprise to locals who've been asking the agency to consider the environmental harms. Local farmers, ranchers, and governments like the Ponderay County Commissioners all opposed the project. Zane Drashinsky is one of the commissioners.
We feel it's a terrible decision for lots of different reasons. Water's a premium in Montana, and it's only they come more so. And to think that we can just contaminate a whole aquifer like that and not have better consequences down the road is pretty short-sighted.
The wastewater is a byproduct of biofuel made by Montana Renewables, a subsidiary of the Calumet Refinery in Great Falls. Drashinsky and his fellow commissioners, along with the county sanitarian, repeatedly asked for samples of the wastewater and were denied. At a public EPA hearing last fall, the only voice in support of the project came from the owner of the company seeking the permits. Drashinsky says he hasn't met anyone who supports it in his community, and
it's been disappointing that our state leaders haven't really reached out to us once at all to see what our concerns were.
The commissioners plan to appeal the decision. Anyone who gave public comments on the permit application can submit an appeal of the EPA's decision by the end of May. In Missoula, I'm Ellis Julin.
Swimming and curling athletes will be in Billings this weekend for Big Sky State Games competition in 2 sporting events. Curling, the Winter Olympic sport, will be held at the Centennial Ice Arena beginning Friday night and continuing through Sunday. The swimming competition begins Friday night at the pool at MSU Billings with warm-ups starting at 4 p.m. Swimming competition continues through Sunday. Finals in most sports of the Big Sky State Games are July 17th through the 19th in Billings. Opening ceremonies for the games will be Friday, July 17th at Lockwood High School Stadium. More information is available at bigskygames.org. Billings officials are reminding residents that a number of streets in the downtown corridor will be closed. There'll be no parking zones beginning early Saturday morning around 5 a.m. and continuing through Saturday midday on May 9th. City officials urge motorists and residents in the affected areas to plan alternate routes and allow extra time. The restrictions are in preparation for the Montana Women's Run Saturday morning. The 5-mile race starts at 8 a.m. and the 2-mile at 9 a.m. Run organizers encourage participants to arrive downtown early to allow time for parking and walking to the start line near North 25th Street and 2nd Avenue North. This is the 45th anniversary of the Montana Women's Run. It's recognized as the largest running event for women in Montana and one of the largest all-women's races in the country. This is a midterm election year, and Montana's primary election is June 2nd. Yellowstone Public Radio and Montana Public Radio are working together to share profiles on candidates running for federal office in 2026. Today, a conversation between Montana Public Radio's Austin Amistoy and Kyle Austin, who's a libertarian running for the U.S. Senate.
Why are you the best person for this job?
Well, I'm a fourth-generation Montanan, okay? I appeal to all Montanans across the board. And so when it comes to people voting for person over party, I'm that person that would represent all Montanans. I was born and raised on the High Line, farmer, rancher background, University of Montana graduate, where I graduated from the School of Pharmacy right here in Montana, and a small business owner. I'm a pharmacist. I own Farm 406 out of Billings, Montana. And so I really appeal to everybody across the board as an all-in-one candidate.
And how will your previous experience, your experience working in the pharmacy world, your education, how will that inform what you bring to this job?
Well, think about it. I mean, what is the biggest platform that everybody across the board, honestly, I mean, it's healthcare. And you see the Democrats trying to lead the way in healthcare, and they've failed. They failed miserably with Obamacare. But you got Republicans out there that they need healthcare and they stand behind the Medicare plans. And so being a pharmacist, but also a conservative, I can be a leading edge on knowing where the problems are with healthcare and how we innovate that, how we build that for the future, and how we make it better for future generations. And that's my plan. It's called Healthcare 2.0.
Let's talk a little bit about that, actually. It's very fitting. That was the next thing I was going to ask you. Obviously, we saw stalemate in Congress last year over the addressing the cost of healthcare. That's one factual matter that is true, is that healthcare is very expensive in this country, and there's a lot of debate over how to address that. So how do you feel Congress should address the cost of healthcare?
Well, I mean, anytime the government gets involved, costs go up. And same thing with healthcare. Anytime our government gets involved with regulations, costs go up. Anytime that government subsidizes insurance plans, costs go up. The best thing to do is overhaul it, and that's my plan called Healthcare 2.0, where we can overhaul the entire healthcare industry. Because not only is it expensive, but by overhauling how we do healthcare. So, like, for instance, every doctor, every dentist, every nurse, every pharmacist is licensed in every state. That's a cost burden. Okay, it also prevents people from coming to Montana to practice healthcare in rural communities where we need them the most. So if we had a national licensing database where everybody can license and have the freedom to go from state to state to practice healthcare, that's a win. If we can stop subsidizing the insurance companies, that's a win. If we can bring in all of the government funding like Medicare, Medicaid, TRICARE, VA, we consolidate that and we allow it to be more efficient. There's going to be less wasted money. It's going to be more available to more people, and we can have that quality healthcare.
Let me pivot to a different topic of conversation in political circles recently. We've heard a lot of discussion at the federal level about adding new voting requirements and perhaps giving the federal government more oversight of elections. What do you make of those proposals?
Well, the proposal is more real ID, okay, or showing an ID when you vote. And I agree with that. You know, why should we allow people that are non-citizens of the United States to influence our politics or our government in any which way or shape or form? And so to show an ID is very simple. And there's people out there, you know, the Democrats, and they're saying, well, that's going to prohibit people from voting. Well, it doesn't prohibit you from driving. You go down the road, you have your driver's license with you. If you're a Native American, you have a tribal ID. It's very simple just to show up and show your ID, and I don't see why anybody would fight that.
Looking now back into Montana, as you've begun your campaign here, what do you feel is a top priority for your potential future constituents?
You know, my top priority is basically small government. Our government has gotten so big and it has gotten so costly to the Montana families. And you hear it every day. Our taxes are out of control. Our cost of living is out of control. That is because our government has gotten so big. The number one priority is we need to doge. I mean, we need to doge the government on a federal level and even on the state level to cut government spending so we can lower taxes and create a more costly or less costly cost of living.
That was Austin Amestoy speaking with Kyle Austin, running for the U.S. Senate. This interview is available at our website, ypradio.org. Tomorrow, a conversation with Riley Neal, a Democrat running for the U.S. Senate. That's The Worm for this Thursday. Catch up with us tomorrow. We'll have another episode for you early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.